Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Randy Carlson. If like me, when you got married, you had something in your vows that referred to sickness and in health, and you were both healthy at that point, you probably thought, well, that's nice. The health part I get, sickness not so much. We'll see, maybe that'll never happen to us. Some of you today are really living with chronic illness in your marriage, and I want to ask the question because it's a staggering statistic of what it does to marriage. What kind of intentional living does it take for you in your marriage with a person you love who has chronic illness to survive and thrive? Let's have a good discussion. Let's open the doors and let's learn from each other in sickness and in health from Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you much, Kurt, and we welcome you to this to our center here today, this sobering, important topic. The statistics on chronic illness in marriage are pretty staggering. I read this morning that 50% of us are pulling around some sort of chronic illness, you know, diabetes, asthma, cancer, any number of illnesses or diseases that impact our lives and then therefore impact our relationships. And that I couldn't believe this number, but it says 75% of people who have really serious chronic illness in their marriages end in divorce. Staggering. And understandable, I guess, in terms of the stress that it causes and stress in turn causing people not to know how to cope, and one thing leads to another, and then there's divorce. So my question is, really, we're here about intentional living, which is not about being perfect. It's about having a goal and going after it, knowing why you're here and pursuing it and living with intentionality. What kind of intentional living specifically has been required maybe in your marriage for you or your spouse with chronic illness to really survive and thrive in that marriage? In sickness and in health, we know that God's intention is for us to love one another until, quote, death do us part. And so if you have chronic illness, you know it's one added stressor. We know in our own family, my parents, my dad had 27 surgeries later in his life. He had diabetes, he had cancer. And I watched my mom and dad for nearly 60 years in those last, what, probably 20 years, what they struggled with. My wife's parents, my in-laws are both in heaven now, but my mother-in-law with Alzheimer's. And boy, just, I mean, that was like, wow, what is this all about? And you see the impact and the stressors and new dynamics of relationship that was required in those latter years of their marriage. And so I guess the question I have for you to encourage someone else, we're all in this thing of life together. There's someone listening who today is feeling so desperate, and maybe just a word from you, you know, saying, hey, I've been there, here's what I've learned, here's what God is teaching me, would be encouraging to someone. Let's lift up this topic in a positive way. We know the downside. Let's see what the upside can be. What have you learned? How has intentional living made a difference? Okay. The number is 888-888-1717 is the number. Many of you leave stories on our comment line like Pastor Woods did. He's a listener from New Mexico, and he wanted to weigh in on this and left these thoughts. Take a listen.
My wife and I were married for 54 years. After we were married for about 45 years, my wife had problems with her throat, had to have an operation, and it didn't go well, and she had to be a tube bed and have oxygen. And for 8 or 9 years, that was her condition. And I took care of her. At the same time, I was pastoring the church. And we just lived a couple blocks from the church, so I'd take care of my wife, and then I'd go to church for a couple of hours, and then I'd go back home and take care of her. I had to feed her 5 times a day. She was too fit. And I would feed her and give her medication, and then and make sure everything was fine, and I go back to the church for a couple hours, and et cetera, for quite some time. She was a sweetheart. She was the help me that God gave me. and we worked together, built a fine work, built a large church through the years, and she was as responsible for that as I was. So I was not a problem taking care of her, not a problem at all. In fact, one day she said, "It's terrible you have to take care of me like this." And I said, "Sweetheart, I consider it an honor to take care of you." I had performed through my years of the ministry over 160 weddings, and so I was very familiar with the vows. And I believed them with all my heart, for better, for worse, sickness and in health. And so regardless of her health, regardless of her condition, our love was strong to the very end.
All right, sickness and in health. The calls are coming in. We'll get to your calls here. I'd love to have you join in. What have you learned? Let's lift this up. Sickness and in health, what does it do in marriage? 888-888-1717. I invited Dr. Greg Jantz to join us. Greg is one of our contributors to Intentional Living in the area of mental health. He's the founder of the Center, A Place of Hope. He's got a great heart, and I think he's going to contribute a lot to our discussion here today. Greg, welcome to the program, and thanks for joining me.
Randy, always good to be with you, and such an important topic today that we don't always realize the impact.
Yeah, it's one of those silent things that often happens. People wrestle and struggle alone. The immediate family may be aware of it, and they hear stories, but 24 hours a day dealing with this can have a real impact. I'm sure you've dealt with families over the years. What are some things you've learned?
You know, one of the things that it creates what I'll call the what-if syndrome. What if this gets worse? What if, and you begin to potentially fill yourself with anxieties around the future, even day-to-day. And sometimes I've had folks tell me, you know, what if I can't continue to care for my spouse, or what if something happens to me? And so it's really easy to understand, but we fall into this the what-if syndrome that creates so much worry and uncertainty. It creates questions, and we end up a lot of times living with a lot of fear, which I think adds to that environment that we're already struggling. Maybe there's a disease, something has happened, and then fear enters the picture and amplifies all the symptoms for everyone.
So you got a situation where maybe your spouse has a chronic illness, and you're thinking, what if this and what if that, but you don't want to share it with your spouse because obviously that would exacerbate the situation. What are some practical things a person can do if they've got some of these what if? What if my spouse gets worse, and what if we run out of money, or what if the insurance doesn't cover? What are some things they should be doing if the what ifs are turning into fear?
Yes. So if you find that fear has entered the picture, one of the things is not to do this alone. It's so easy to isolate. You go, well, you're not feeling well, and we stop doing social things, or there's limitations, and we begin a process of isolation. So one of the first things we have to think about is, I'm not supposed to do this alone, and I've got to be looking to where are my emotional support resources. And sometimes that means maybe I'm going to go to a support group for those who are suffering with, for spouses that are suffering with Parkinson's or whatever it is. So I'm going to make sure that I'm resourcing myself so that I can really be a great resource to my spouse or the loved one that may be struggling with a disease. So, number one, don't do it alone. Don't go this alone.
Hang on. I want to get to some more thoughts. We got some callers coming in. I want to have join in with us here. Greg, we have Chad on the line. Interesting angle on this thing of sickness and health. Chad, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. How do you relate to this?
Well, you know, my fiance and I, my soon-to-be wife, we had a disease about 8 years ago, and it was drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And it was love at first sight. From the minute I saw her, I told her she's the first person I ever saw from the inside out ever in my life. And we're so in love. And we've been clean and sober now over a year, and just tremendous followers of Jesus. And what I want to know is what I can do to make sure that I don't have to, she doesn't look back and go, I wonder if that was defined by alcohol or drugs. I want to stay on the course that we're on and not be pulled backwards by the life that we were leading. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's right up Greg's alley because you deal with much of this. What do you say to Chad? They're getting married. They've been clean now for a year, but they're bringing that, you know, that disease into their relationship.
You know, one of the first things I think about is, congratulations. Look what you've done.
Yes.
You've changed the whole direction of your life and that stronghold of that addiction. Instead of breaking this relationship apart, we've decided to come together, and we're going to live without addiction in our lives. So you're to be acknowledged to start with. My goodness.
God bless you.
But it also now allows us to move to a different level of closeness and intimacy. You know, addiction or alcohol, it robs us really of closeness and intimacy. We choose that. And so we need to remember, well, when there are challenges and there's intense situations among us and we're facing some things and there's emotion, it's really easy to go back to our old way of coping.
Yeah.
And so we've got to remember, no, I'm a new person. And I have a commitment now. I'm going to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. So the danger emotions would be, don't let anger or resentment, don't let these grow in your life, left unresolved, anger, fear, and guilt. So and we need to remember, okay, if I need to make sure that I'm going to keep walking strong, I'm going to remain in some support groups, I'm going to do what I need to do, because I'm not going back to that old way. But you're to be acknowledged.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic a journey that you've been on. You're starting off in the right direction. You recognize that's an area of vulnerability in your lives, Chad. And I'll tell you what, we're going to be praying for you here at the Intentional Living Center, because as you guys choose to be intentional living by faith, by living intentionally in Christ, we hope to hear from you in a few years as you look back and say, hey, we're on the right path and God's with us.
God bless you guys.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your call. I want to talk about communication in a moment, the power of communication. I saw in our own family with one of our parents where there was a chronic illness, and there really wasn't the kind of communication that I think in retrospect would have been helpful. Let's talk about how important it is to talk about the issues about illness and what the impact is with each other, because you love each other. We'll get to that in a moment. You're welcome to join us. We're talking about in sickness and in health, 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
As we're looking at intentional living for in-law relationships, I chuckle because this is one you got. This is a tricky one. Stay back from the boundaries. Stay back, because boundaries are unmarked and easy to cross. Sometimes you cross a boundary with an in-law, you didn't even know you crossed it. You said something, you did something, and you don't know why there's silence or quietness or whatever you're getting. You don't even know what happened, why it happened. And I was thinking about this, that some people, some in-laws that you have are more sensitive than others. And if you know you have a very sensitive in-law, remember the boundaries are going to be pretty narrow. Be very careful. Wow, that's an excerpt from the teaching where I take you through what I call high-stake relationships. And in each of these high-stake relationships, I give you the top 10 list of the intentionals for being successful and thriving in that relationship. Here are the four that I teach. On the high-stake relationship of adult children, in-laws, blended families, and single parents. And I want you to know, as a ministry, that we'd like to get this into your hands as you help us meet a very urgent need at this point. To help us eliminate a shortfall, frankly, that we've experienced over the last couple of months. We don't borrow money, and we won't. That's very unintentional in terms of how we operate. We believe that God will supply. So I'm just sharing with you that we are behind where the need is for the ministry. And I want to ask you today if you would join us with the best gift you can to help with the ministry. And I want to send you this 2-DVD set with 4 lessons on these high-stake relationships. Your best gift today of $100 or $50 or more or whatever it is that God lays on your heart would be so appreciated. And if you'd like to join us as a monthly member, we'll make sure you receive this as well. High-stake relationships. You can give today by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And you can share with us there. Or you can call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. We're talking about sickness and in health today and how to be intentional. What does it take? What are some of the intentional living principles that work? And I know one of them is going to be communication. And our friend Greg Jantz, who's the founder of the Center, A Place of Hope, and one of our contributors in the area of mental health here at Intentional Live, we ask him to join us. You know, Greg, as I look back in our family, my in-laws, my wife's father and mother, many of our listeners knew Warren and Char Boldhaus. And when Char was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in the last 10 years of her life, I know Warren loved her so much that it was hard for him to even talk to her about what she was going through. And she was, I could see that it was scary for her and confusing, and it was confusing for the family. It was the first experience for the family with Alzheimer's. And I would think that probably most of us in the family would look back and say, if we could go through that again, one of the things that would have been more healthy would have been more open communication, talking about what's going on and having mom be able to understand and answer some questions and have Warren talk about it. But sometimes you can have an elephant in the room around some of these issues and a family doesn't really talk about it, and that would exacerbate the issue, I would think. What have you found in your work, Greg, in working with families?
Absolutely. And what I'm thinking is the changing of roles. See, when we go through sickness and disease, sometimes roles change. And what I mean by that is maybe you end up being 90% of the caretaker, and there's a real adjustment in the relationship. And sometimes it's hard for folks to adapt to that. Whereas maybe one spouse feels like they've done a lot of caretaking and now the roles have switched. And I think what we do is we go into this very intentional understanding, because of what we're faced and because of our faithfulness and love to one another, we have to have an adaptation mindset that says, okay, I understand, and maybe I have to learn new things. I think of those that have had to even like learn to cook, or I've had to learn, and I'm doing some different things now that I didn't do that much of before, perhaps. Yeah. So allowing for that flexibility as far as letting actual roles change, I think sometimes there is a danger of kind of hanging on to old expectations that things are going to be a certain way. You know, anybody who's had a family member that's had cancer, it changes everything. And we have to release the old expectations.
Yes. And I think expectations, as we know, always gets us into trouble when the reality doesn't match. Pat wants to join us here. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it. Where are you in all of this?
I have a story from an adult child perspective, I think. My mom had Alzheimer's, and my dad and my siblings and I took care of her toward the end. And at the beginning of your program, you said you wanted some positive feedback, because
yes,
we all know the ugly part of it.
Yes, we do.
So that's where I fit in. I think that it's important for us to remember that as we're changing those roles and people are stepping up and stepping outside of their normal comfort zone and doing things that you never thought they were capable of doing, believing in unbelievers, because that's my family, you get to watch God work in the midst of a terrible, terrible situation in ways that you can't even imagine. Mm. And so even in all of that awfulness, there's this this wonderful wave of God working and weaving and pulling that would not have happened had we not been in the midst of such a hard thing.
Did it bring your siblings to get closer? Did you all come closer together?
Yes. And it brought some of them closer to God. Some have stepped across the line and have made a commitment, and some not yet. But the process is working, and this is moving them toward it. So it's all for good.
That's good. All right. Very good. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
God bless you. And I know that not every story is the same. Many times you will hear the story where you'll have one sibling that is saying, hey, I got to carry all the load here. And, and that can create the opposite of what Pat's story is. So I think it's a reminder, if you want to have a healthier process, make sure that everybody's engaged. The more that people can work together as a family, this is an opportunity for a family to support. And maybe you don't know what to do, but finding out what can be done. One suggestion I would have is, if there's a chronic illness in the family and you're trying to help and you're a part of the process in a positive way, find out as much about the disease as you can. In other words, what to expect and what's the process that your loved one is going through. The more knowledge you have, the more awareness you have, the better able you're going to be to deal with this. But Greg, obviously, when you go through this, and many times it's not expected, all of a sudden there's a cancer diagnosis or there's a heart problem or some whatever else that could be huge that really impacts a family. It stretches the other person, the person in the marriage. All of a sudden, your spouse has this, and you're not equipped emotionally or otherwise to really know how to deal with it. And it's a huge stretch for people sometimes to really fulfill that vow.
Yes, it can be a very huge stretch. And I think in terms of I walked through, my wife had cancer, and I've walked through this, and you begin to learn, and you can, and it's a challenge, but a deeper level of a relationship that you have with one another that you didn't really know was there, and the commitment. And so I think through what I walked through, my love grew deeper, and my care and concern and my sensitivity. I think my wife, in fact, she said this the other day. She says, you know, you are such a nicer man now.
That's interesting.
So, because I just grew in a whole other level of sensitivity. And so for me, I've walked through this, and I know what it's like to wonder about the future. I know what it's like to have kids who wonder about the future. I know how you either come together as a family or it's going to expose, you know, some weak links in the family. It was an opportunity for me to have a lot of personal growth.
Yes.
So
very, very powerful. I want you to hang on. We're getting so many calls and responses to this. I'd like to stay in the studio if you can, Greg, and what we'll do is we're going to record a program that will air later. So if you want to come and join us, maybe you have a story to uplift on this topic of sickness and health, give us a call at 888-888-1717, and join us. And we'd love to have you be a part of this.
I had been tearing my husband down, and I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me. I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him instead of trying to be in control. He didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one. He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together.
Boy, listen, thank you for that story. We are so committed here at the Intentional Living Center to you and to what God is doing in your life intentionally, and especially for your marriage and your family. So much so that coming up next weekend, a week from Saturday, April 21st, my friend and internationally known psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman and myself, we're going to have a fantastic day with you at the Glendale Nazarene Church in the Phoenix area, Glendale, Nazarene Church. And we're calling it Hope for the Home, and we're going to be focusing on how to have the kind of marriage that God intends for you to have. And we got some really practical things, because Kevin and I, between he and Sandy, they've been married, I don't know, but coming up on 50 years. Kevin is the most, he's an energizer bunny, this guy. And he writes fantastic practical stuff. He's at this age, he's the founder of an entire chain of charter schools to help families. And he's going to come and he's going to download some things and be really practical for your family. I'm going to be talking about marriage and how to have intentional love in your marriage. And you know what? We're getting very close to being sold out. And the staff put together this early bird discount thing to help you to get your tickets early. And it expires tomorrow, on Friday. And so if you've been waiting to get your tickets, this is the time to do it. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of it. It's Saturday, April 21st, Glendale Nazarene Church. And you can get all the information that you need by going to theintentionallife.com. And you can register there today. Gold Circle sold out. I think the group registrations are almost sold out. So we're getting close. We'd love to have you come and be a part of it. We do have a spot for you and for your spouse, or if you're a single person, to come and learn about marriage and parenting. Come and be a part of this as well. Send some folks that can really need some encouragement in their marriage. This is going to be for marriages that are strong and want to get stronger, those that are struggling and want to really thrive and survive. And it's going to be all about doing this intentionally. Very practical time for you. Glendale Nazarene Church, April 21st. And the tickets today are available by going to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. And get your tickets. Greg is going to stay in the studio with me. As I mentioned, we're going to record a program on this very topic. We want you to be a part of it. If you can get through, the lines have been really jammed. And we're going to air this second program coming up on May 21st. So if you want to mark it on your calendar, we'll be talking about In Sickness and Health again on that day from our recording. And we're going to talk about some things, how you deal with the emotions that you're feeling. How do you deal with your own life and staying strong when you have a spouse that has a chronic illness? Should you be talking about the what-ifs that Greg mentioned, the what-ifs, this and that, and you're feeling it? Should you get them out on the table, or should you kind of, out of respect, hold back? We'll get into some of those things as well coming up on the recorded program. So you're welcome to join us again at 888-888-1717. Tomorrow, I think we're talking about money, aren't we? Same page finances. How to be on the same page in your marriage around the big, big essential area of money. And we'll jump into that tomorrow, okay? I'm Randy Carlson. I want to thank Amy for helping on the phone. Say thank you, Amy. And for Stephen and for Rob, we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.